I'm here in Paris, France, where it's an awesome time to be a developer. I'm Seth Juarez, cloud advocate in AI and machine learning. I'm here for Microsoft Ignite the Tour, where I've caught a couple of sessions. I thought, while I'm here, why not talk to the amazing developer relation team here at Microsoft France to see all the cool stuff they're doing with the community, getting them on Azure, and doing awesome stuff in the cloud. Hopefully you'll come with me. Got my badge, and look, there he is. How you doing, bud?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Should we take a tour?
Yeah,
sure. All right, let's do it.
Follow me.
Look at this, is beautiful. Is it all just offices? Do you have more than just offices?
Yeah, we have offices, obviously, but we also have a conference center. From time to time, we host community events.
Okay.
But we also do a lot of Microsoft events.
All right, my friend, that was an awesome tour.
You like it?
Yeah, this is a pretty cool office. Yep.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's a fire alarm.
Do we have to go?
Yeah, right now.
Where's Chris? Oh my goodness. So how often do you have fire drills here, man?
So we have like one or two times per year.
Okay. And so the day we come, this is a fire drill, right?
Yeah, just for you.
Just for me. I love it. Oh my good grief.
You told me you wanted to meet the Microsoft France employees, so...
You had them all come out for me?
Yeah. Yeah, we have... 1,800 employees in France.
And they're all right here coming out right now.
And it seems that today, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, that was a lot of stairs, my friend.
Yeah.
Wasn't planning on exercising this year.
Yes, sir. But you eat a lot of pastries here
in Paris.
Yeah,
that's true. I did have a lot of pastries. So, that was an awesome tour. This is an amazing office. I was hoping you could tell me a little bit about developers in France. Like, what? Tell me about the tech scene. Tell me about the kind of technology they work on. What do you have to say about them?
So we have a lot of, we have quite a great tech scene in France.
Okay.
With students, recently we opened a lot of professional school or code camps in France, all over France. Even in some Iceland in France. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of startups. For example, one of the well-known place for startup is Station F, which is one of the biggest place in Europe where we can host startup. I think there is more than 1,000 startups inside the same building.
That's cool.
At Microsoft, we are running a program within Station F, which is specialized in AI for B2B startups.
Oh, I'm all about AI.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, that's cool.
But other programs for other companies are more specialized in IoT or some industry verticals like fashion, etc.
I see. So there's tons of amazing tech companies here. There's tons of amazing community. Tell me more about the community in France. Do you have events that you go to? Because I know where I live, they have meetups, they have conferences, whatever. Do they have the same kind of thing here? I assume they do.
Yeah, we have a lot of meetups all over the France, but we also have a lot of community lead events.
Okay.
Like it could be 1 day, 2 day, or even 3 days conferences.
Oh, but just a community led event.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And we have them all over the France. We have obviously the DevFest. But we also have in South of France some more specialized events like SonyTech or Riviera Dev.
That's cool. So let's talk about what you do here a little bit. We're obviously colleagues, right? And so that's the cool part of it. What do you do here in France as a cloud advocate?
So obviously I'm writing a lot of content and videos. I'm trying to do a lot of them in French. Because even if most of the developers here in France speak English or can understand English, they tend to prefer
Well, of course, I mean, it's
French,
a native
obviously.
Language, yeah.
Yeah. So I write a lot of content in French. I write to paper magazines. We have that in France, like actual programming paper magazines.
That's cool.
But we also have a lot of YouTube blogs, etc. And also take part of a lot of events, like the one the community had once I talk about. and even organizing some hackathons or participating to some hackathons.
Tell me about your journey into Microsoft.
So I've discovered Microsoft during local events we had back then from Microsoft employees. And then during my first year of study, I joined the MSP program, Microsoft Student Partner.
Right.
Then I became an MVP, Microsoft Most Valuable Professional,
right.
And continue working on Microsoft technology for several years.
So there's a ton of Microsoft technology. Is there one that you specialize in, or do you just know everything, which I'm pretty sure you do?
Yeah, we cannot really know everything. But I've started mostly with .NET development and then embedded development, back then with Windows Embedded, Windows Mobile, and Windows Phone. And then I specialized into cloud development.
Okay.
So I still do a lot of embedded / IoT dev and with a more backend development in Azure.
Fantastic. So one thing that you didn't show me during the tour and I was hoping we could take a look at was your office.
I work from home. I'm, as you know, I'm part of a global remote team.
That's cool.
So I work from home.
Well, can we go to your house? It won't be weird, I promise.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's go. This is a nice place, my friend.
Yeah, thank you.
So how'd you get into programming?
So a few years ago, my father brought me a Thomson MO6, which is a very old computer with only a keyboard in it.
Okay.
And you have to plug it into a TV to get a screen. And you also have to program, because there is no program at all on it.
I see.
And back then, they were selling magazines with lines of codes, so I had to actually type all the lines of codes.
So like actual cut and paste type stuff.
Actual cut and paste,
that's
yes,
cool.
With fingers.
That's cool. I've never heard of that machine. It must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, cool. Like more than 20 years ago.
Well, you live in a nice place, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. In the heart of Paris.
Oh, in the heart of Paris? Man.
Just around the corner.
All right, let's take a look here. So you work here?
Yeah, at my home.
That's awesome. So what is it like to be a remote worker?
So actually, it's pretty interesting. First, you can get focused when you want. So for example, when I have to write a complicated piece of code, I can get all the focus I need. And then I can stay connected with a global team with diverse opinions and views, etc., and work on a really exciting project.
So what kind of tools do you use to stay connected with everybody?
So we have a few tools we are reusing. So first, we are using Microsoft Teams to stay connected. And I also have proper setup, proper hardware to do it, like a great microphone, great camera, and even lights. So people can see and hear me very clearly. We even use Microsoft Teams with the Cloud Advocacy France team to do a remote coffee every week.
Yeah. And so you meet remotely and everyone just sort of hangs out.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Exactly.
So you said Cloud Advocacy. What does a Cloud Advocate do?
So for me, a Cloud Advocate is connecting people, connecting the developers outside of Microsoft within our own engineering and product teams.
But can you get more specific? I mean, how do you do that here?
So for example, we organize hackathons and we invite external developers to take part of these events. One of them was the Share AI hackathon we had a few months ago, where we invited some NGOs with their issues and some developers to try to fix or help with these issues.
Did you get to participate at all?
Yeah, I had to pick up a project. So I pick up Surfrider project, which is an NGO who's trying to protect the ocean.
Well, what got you thinking to pick that project? I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of other projects, but what made you pick that one?
I picked the project because I'm very concerned by the ocean, because I'm also a scuba diver and a CTO of a scuba diving school, a non-profit scuba diving school.
That's amazing. What do you do as a CTO of a scuba diving club?
Maybe you want me to show up?
Yeah, let's go do that.
Let's go.
All right, dude, so tell me where we're at.
So we are at a swimming pool.
So how long have you been doing this?
For more than 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
I didn't think you were that old. This is pretty cool. All right, well, let's go in.
Let's go.
Please.
Thank you. So we are on the basement of the swimming pool.
Okay.
And this is where we have our technical space. I'm part of the club near my office.
Okay.
And we are actually an NGO.
Okay.
So every people into that club is either a diver or a volunteer instructor.
I see. So there, it's all volunteer stuff.
Yeah.
So you've been able to like do your work stuff because obviously we're colleagues, and now you're a CTO of a hobby thing that you do.
Correct.
So tell me about this organization. Do you have like a motto or a club or a chant?
Yeah, actually we are two things in mind, which is security and fun.
Okay, security and fun.
Those, together.
Those two don't feel like they're together, right?
Yeah.
So this is awesome. Tell me about this device, because you said part of the security part has to do with this huge thing that looks like a Ghostbusters ghost holder.
Yeah, so actually this is our filling station. Okay. So scuba divers are using tanks filled with air to be able to stay underwater for like 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And one of the main security parts is to ensuring that the air we are putting into that tank is on a good quality.
I see. So what does this machine do?
So this machine is an air compressor. It takes the air and removes the pollution and the humidity, goes through some filters, compress it, and send it into the tanks for the divers.
So like, do you have to do any maintenance on it? Are you taking care of this machine, or how does it work?
Yeah, we need to take great care of this machine to ensure we have a proper air quality. And one of the things we need to do on a regular basis is to change the filters we have on it.
Okay, so is that it? You just change the filter and you're good?
Yeah, basically I'm good, but I need to know when to change the filters.
Oh, I see.
And this is the tricky part. This is the security part.
So
we need to
see.
Fill a log. So we have a log. Each time we use this device, we need to log how many hours we have used this device.
So who logs this stuff?
So actually, it's the volunteers.
Well, that's not so fun.
Yeah, that's not so fun, yeah.
So I bet we can fix it with tech, though, right?
Definitely.
So tell me about this thing, because I was looking at this, and this doesn't look like it belongs to the machine.
Yeah, definitely. So I already have some electronic into this machine, but for warranty and maintenance reasons, I cannot really touch anything on
right,
the machine.
Right, because then they'll break it, right?
So I'm doing what we call IoT retrofitting,
okay.
Which is taking a piece of tech and putting it on top of an actual appliance
I see.
Without modifying it so much and getting it connected.
I see.
So this is the MX chip board,
okay.
Which is, it's basically an Arduino board,
okay.
But it has a few superpowers. First, it's connected to internet
okay.
through Wi-Fi antenna. Then I have a few sensor here, and like in this case, the accelerometer sensor. And I also have a screen and a LED, LED, so I can debug and display things.
I see. So how does it know if the machine's on? Because I mean, you got to log every time you turn it on and turn it off, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so how does this work?
So basically, I'm monitoring the accelerometer data from a 5 second time span. And if I see a pattern in this data, I know that the compressor is running. Because when the compressor is running, it's shaking a little bit because there is a huge motor inside of us.
Oh, I see. So once it's shaking and the light turns on, but there's got to be more than that, right?
Yeah, correct. Okay. So when the light turns on, it's just a debug display for me to know that the board has take the information. And then I use the Wi-Fi antenna to send it to the Azure IoT Hub, which is a service that allows developers to easily connect IoT devices.
Oh, okay.
And then connect them to other services within the cloud.
I see. So once the IoT Hub gets it, what do you do after that?
So basically, the IoT Hub gets the input that this this compressor is running or not,
uh-huh.
and time span. And then I send it, I've connected an Azure function to the Azure IoT Hub to process these messages and put it into a database.
I see. And so basically, now you've been able to have security and you make the computer do the not so fun part.
Correct.
How do you know it's working?
So I know it's working because I can shake it.
Okay.
So if I shake the device for like 5-10 seconds, the LED will turn red.
There you go.
Okay.
So it's working. But what if you're not here to make sure that it's working?
If I'm not here, I have created a mobile app.
Oh, there you go.
So I can see, as you can see, this is true, but I've stopped shaking.
Let me shake it again.
You can shake it and wait for the LED to turn again. Boom.
Oh, there you go.
And I can see the MX chip turn true and green.
Oh my goodness.
So I know this device is actually running.
This is really cool. I mean, you have your hobby,
yeah,
and you have your work stuff
connected together,
and you put them all together. This is awesome. Well, thanks so much for showing this to me, bud.
You're welcome.
It was awesome to hang out with my dear friend and colleague, Chris, to learn how he was able to mix the hobby and the tech. It was cool to see the IoT device, how he was able to still maintain fun, and have security by making the logs happen automatically with IoT Hub, Azure Functions, and a data store. Well, it's wonderful to be in Paris, even if it's raining. Be sure to like and subscribe to Code Stories to see what else we're up to here in Paris and where we go to next.